Welcome to The Workplace, a podcast by Cal Chamber. I'm Alan Zarenberg, Cal Chamber's president and CEO. With me on the podcast today is Jennifer Barrera, Cal Chamber's executive vice president and head of our advocacy and policy unit, and Ben Ebbing, a partner with the Phillips Fisher Law Firm in Sacramento, which is a national law firm, and Ben is an expert on employment law. And today we're discussing the federal legislation addressing the coronavirus and its impact on employers. Welcome to Jennifer and Ben, and let's get right to the issue at hand. And so, Ben, maybe we can start with you. You know, first of all, let's talk about the provisions of the new law. There's a number of things that require paid leave, some family leave, some sick leave. How do they all fit together? What exactly are they? And maybe we can start with the foundation there. And then after that, we can go into how they comport with California law. How do they fit together? And then finally, for employers who are distressed at this time, how do they make all this work? So, Ben, let's start with what have the federal legislation passed? What does it do?
Thanks, Alan. So there's essentially two leave provisions in the federal law. One is what's called an emergency paid sick leave provision, and the other is an emergency family and medical leave provision. Both of these are specific to COVID-19 and the crisis going on right now. Both of them are also temporary in nature. The federal law has a sunset date of December 31st. So these are emergency measures, but both do require paid leave under certain circumstances. So if you'd like, I could walk through those very briefly. And
yeah, that'd be great. Why don't you describe the criteria for which paid leave is available, whether or not that leave is protected, and what does an employer do who can't quite afford to pay it?
Okay. So I'm going to talk about the sick leave provision first. So the emergency sick leave provision, both of these provisions apply to private sector employers with fewer than 500 employees. If you have over 500 employees, you're not covered by either of these leave protections. The sick leave law says the employer has to provide sick time to employees who are unable to work or telework. And that's an important addition that was made to the legislation. So the employee has to be both unable to work or telework. And the sick leave provisions, there are six qualifying reasons why you can take the leave. Three of them have to do with basically the employee. If the employee is under a quarantine order or an isolation order, or they are exhibiting symptoms. The other qualifying reasons have to do with if you're caring for another individual or if you're home caring for your kids because the schools are closed, which is a really common factor. So there's six qualifying reasons. Essentially, the emergency paid sick leave provides for a full-time employee 80 hours, basically 2 weeks of paid sick leave if any of those six qualifying conditions are met. It's job protected leave. The pay works a little differently. So for the first three qualifying reasons of the leave, essentially those leave provisions related to the employee themselves, they're paid at their regular rate of pay, but it is subject to caps. So there's caps of $511 per day and a little over $5,000 in the aggregate. So depending on the qualifying conditions, the employee can be compensated at their regular rate of pay. However, if they qualify for the qualifying reasons that are essentially taking care of someone else or their home because their kids' school is closed, they're compensated at two-thirds their regular rate of pay. And those have caps as well. The employer is only required to pay up to $200 per day per employee, up to $2,000.
These are the onus is coronavirus related, right? If somebody tweaks doesn't apply here, right?
Correct. These are all specific to COVID-19.
Okay, great. And then how about the family leave part? And then maybe you can say why there are two provisions in the law and how they work together or independently.
Sure. So the proposal, legislation related to the emergency family and medical leave is essentially an addition, an emergency addition to the Family Medical Leave Act. It makes some important changes. Traditionally, FMLA applies to employees who have worked for 12 months and have 1,250 hours, and also employers that have 50 or more employees within a 75-mile radius. So none of those qualifications apply to this leave at all. So again, it's any employer with fewer than 500 employees, and all employees are covered if they've been employed for 30 days or longer. So that's it. They don't have to have worked for 12 months. There's no other hours requirement. Any employee who's been an employee for 30 days is covered by this new family medical leave. There's only one qualifying reason for the employee to take leave under this provision, and it's limited to when the employee has to care for a son or daughter because the school or the daycare is closed. So that's something that was dramatically changed. The earlier version of this bill had some broad reasons why the Family and Medical Leave Act, but it was narrowed by the House. So again, it's only one reason that the employee is entitled to take the leave, and it's when they're caring for a child because the schools or the daycare center is closed for COVID-19.
And so is this protected leave also?
This is job protected leave, just like traditional FMLA. It's a 12-week job protected leave. Paid. The first 10 days are unpaid. In a sense, these are designed to work in conjunction with one another. They are separate leave provisions, and they do have different qualifying reasons. But for example, if you had an employee who's off work because their children's school is closed and they have to care for their children, they could qualify for this new emergency FMLA leave. So they would be entitled to 12 weeks. The first 10 days would be unpaid. But because they qualify for the emergency paid sick leave, they would have those first 2 weeks of paid under the sick leave provision. But in general, again, the family medical leave, 12 weeks of protected leave. The first 10 days are unpaid. So after that, it is paid leave. All of this time under the FMLA emergency leave is paid at 2/3 the employee's regular rate of pay. And again, there's some caps. It's capped at $200 per day and $10,000 in the aggregate.
Jennifer, could you remind everybody about how the California rules work on these two issues? And then we can ask Ben how they all fit together.
Sure. There's a California counterpart to the Federal Family Medical Leave Act. It pretty much tracks the federal law. So currently right now, any employer that has 50 or more employees within a 75-mile radius and any employee who has worked for the employer for 12 months and 1,250 hours would be entitled to 12 weeks of protected leave to care for a serious medical condition of themselves or a family member. And so it usually tracks pretty consistently with the federal law, the federal FMLA, with a few exceptions. So if you're taking California medical, family medical leave, you'll also be concurrently taking federal FMLA leave, and they'll run together. California, obviously, not yet, doesn't have a California counterpart to what was just passed at the federal level. So if an employee is taking this new leave, this new emergency family medical leave, it would not trigger an existing right to take leave under the California Family Rights Act, and so it would be one of those circumstances in which they would not run concurrently, and so an employee would have that emergency federal medical leave to take time off to care for a child whose school is closed, and then they would still have the existing 12 weeks under the California Family Rights Act to take time off for somebody's serious medical condition, the medical condition of themselves, and, of course, baby bonding as well.
So, Ben, we go back for a second here because we talked about protected leave. So you're an employer who's lost a lot of revenue in this coronavirus crisis, and you have an employee who meets the criteria, but you might have otherwise laid them off because you don't have the revenue. Are these protected in a way that the employer has to continue to pay them and keep them on the payroll?
We don't believe so. I mean, it defines the leave to apply to anybody who's an employee. So the other thing I want to point out is these leave provisions don't go into effect until April 2nd. So obviously many employers are making decisions right now in terms of whether we are temporarily furloughing employees or we're laying people off, terminating them. because we can't comply. The way we read the bill is once it becomes effective, it applies to anybody who's an employee that meets the qualifying conditions. You know, in terms of anybody who's not an employee on payroll at that time wouldn't be provided leave. We don't see anything that would provide that this is retroactive and would provide leave for employees who had already been off work for an otherwise qualifying reason as well. And then the analysis, I think, would be, you know, similar to any other employee who terminated operation in the midst of an employee being on leave at that time. So.
Okay, so let's just clarify that a little bit here in terms of the qualifications. Because the sick leave and the family medical leave, it apply to somebody who is actually has the coronavirus. Many people are likely in a situation, we'll probably have more people who are likely in a situation where they have to, their school is closed and they may have to stay home and take care of their child is because the other requirements require somebody to actually have the coronavirus. Is that correct?
So to clarify, under the paid sick leave provision, there are six different qualifying reasons that the employee could take leave. The first one is that the employee is subject to a quarantine or an isolation order. The second is that the employee has been advised by their healthcare provider to self-quarantine. And the third is that the employee is experiencing symptoms of COVID-19 and seeking a medical diagnosis. So they don't necessarily have to have had a positive test and be confirmed that they have COVID-19. All of these qualifying reasons talk about quarantines or isolation or seeking medical diagnosis.
Okay. Jennifer, the legislature is currently out of session. Do we anticipate any companion legislation here?
Well, so they are out until April 13th. However, before they went out, there was already a bill introduced, AB 3216, by Assemblymember Kalra, that put forth a protected leave of absence for, again, specifically related to the coronavirus, somebody who obviously had the coronavirus or was having the symptoms. And it was a leave separate from the California Family Rights Act that I just mentioned before and would give them, again, protected leave. It was not defined with a specific time period, but nonetheless, it would provide a California-specific leave to deal with this issue. Again, they're out until April 13th, so they can't act on that or move that forward, but it is already introduced. And we have heard of rumors of other bills that will be introduced, maybe extending the California paid sick leave law that's already in place and maybe providing other protective leave of absences similar to what the federal government has done. But again, they're not here until at least April 13th, so we'll have to wait and see.
So the federal law is controlling right now, along with, I think, what you talked about with California law that's in place, but also many employers already have some kind of sick leave provisions for their employees. Does the employee have to take advantage of those? Because there may be different rates here, right, Ben, in terms of what the sick leave requirements are in the federal legislation. Does the employer have the choice in terms of what do you apply first and how do you do that? Or how does that work together?
Yes, you're right. Many employers already have existing sick leave policies. The way we read the legislation, it's a little unclear, and so we're hoping there's some guidance that the Department of Labor puts out. They had a conference call today with employers, and there were lots of questions about how this new law relates to existing employer policies. There's some language in the bill that supports an argument that this new sick leave requirement is in addition to employer policies. But it's a little unclear at this time. The legislation does say that an employee can choose to use any other accrued leave that they have before leave under these provisions, but they specify the employer cannot require the employee to do so. So it's basically the employee's election as to whether to use certain leave provisions. I think many employees would prefer to use other leave, especially if it's compensated fully at the regular rate of pay. As I mentioned, some of the provisions of the sick leave are compensated at 2/3 their rate of pay, and the family and medical leave is compensated at 2/3 their regular rate of pay as well. So many employees may prefer to use other leave if it pays them at a higher rate.
Okay. So finally, just as a practical matter to wrap this all up, in terms of employers who are in a difficult situation and may not have the revenues coming in, since this is not in effect immediately and won't go into effect for a while, they have some choices on what is best for them and what is, you know, whether or not what's right for their employees in terms of whether or not they can afford to keep them on the payroll, or whether or not unemployment insurance benefits may actually be the best way to go for the two of them. They may not be mutually compatible, but the employer who may be concerned about having the revenues to continue this. I mean, once you start down this path, you have to continue it, it sounds like, correct?
Yeah, I mean, the employee is entitled to the leave, although if the, you know, I think there are questions if the business is not around and shuts down completely, you know, in terms of whether they have obligations to continue to pay people if they're no longer employed.
Yeah, I think businesses want to stay in business, and that's why they have to maybe adjust their workforce. And so I think the questions are looking at that strategically in terms of what's best for them and what the obligations are, depending on which path they take.
And I think it's important to mention the funding mechanism for these leaves. There is a tax credit provision. So the goal right here is that the government is going to pick up the tab. So the way it's designed to work, as I mentioned, these leaves are capped at a certain amount that the employers have to pay. And then there's a tax credit that the employers are able to quarterly be reimbursed against their Social Security taxes at the same amount that they paid these wages. So again, in theory, this is designed for that the federal government is going to pick up the tab. But now there's an obvious cash flow issue here, right? Essentially, the employer is being asked to front the leave now and be reimbursed fully by the federal government quarterly when they do their taxes. And a lot of employers are asking questions, you know, I'm not going to have money to front all this paid leave right now and be reimbursed by the government. How is this going to work? And that's a real challenge. So I think you're right. Many employers are making some tough decisions right now going forward about whether they're going to be able to afford to do this at all, even with a tax credit. Now, I would mention there's a lot of discussion going on. The Department of Treasury is supposed to issue some guidance as well. A lot of people are pushing on this sort of cash flow issue to try to find out with some other alternatives about how some businesses can be provided some immediate economic relief to be able to pay for something like this. And there is a big negotiation going on right now around what's called the Stage 3 economic stimulus, the last big package the Congress is supposed to pass in the next few days. So there's lots of conversations about trying to inject some economic relief directly into businesses to allow them to be able to afford to pay for leave like this. So it's a little up in the air at this point, but it's definitely a real cash flow challenge for that businesses are going to face complying with these leave requirements.
Well, that's great information. I think it's a good way to close here, and I think we want to emphasize that. If the business can't afford the cash flow, the way the federal legislation is crafted, they will get a tax credit off their payroll taxes to cover the sick leave, the paid sick leave, and the paid family leave. Is that correct?
Correct.
Well, good. I think that's a very important information to the employers in California. Jennifer, anything you want to add before we close here?
No, I think you and Ben have covered it in depth, and I think just stay tuned for more developments at the federal level with regards to the economic package that Ben just mentioned.
Great. Thanks for joining us on The Workplace. Stay up to date on the most critical issues for employers during the COVID-19 crisis, and comment, share, and subscribe to Cal Chambers podcast by visiting calchamber.com. Thanks to Ben and Jennifer.